in contact is folks that believe that I can call on God anytime I want to. I can play around, I can mess around, I can fool around, and then when I need God, I can call on Him. And He's like a genie in a bottle. We can pull that lamp down and rub it like a genie in a bottle, and He just pops out and says, I'll give you 3 wishes. But you see, God's not a genie in a bottle tonight. He is God. He's a merciful God. He's an awesome God. He's not a fair God. He's a just God. Things that don't seem fair to us, it doesn't really matter, because God's not worried about being fair. He's worried about being just. And that's why things are like they are. I turned away the Lord one time too many. That's all it takes. Is just one time too many. I want you to stand with me tonight as we open up to the book of Exodus. I got a heavy heart tonight. It's always a privilege to have you here. God is good to us. He's made a divine appointment for you to be here. And so we're glad that you are here. Exodus, the 8th chapter. We'll be reading verses 9 and 10. Exodus, the 8th chapter, verses 9 and 10. If you have that, say amen. The Bible said, Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, Entreat the Lord that He may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, Glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee, and for thy servants and for thy people, to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? Listen real close to Pharaoh's answer. He said, Tomorrow. And he said, Be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. Lift your hands tonight and pray for us. All that would. Father, we come to you. We love you. We honor you. We praise you. We thank you for all the help tonight. We thank you for the visitors. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for everything. But God, we're asking you to do a special work tonight. Roll your sleeves up, God. Make yourself real to us in this service. Help us, God. Clear my mind. Clear my thought. Give me clarity of thought and speech. Father, we'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray tonight. Somebody say amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. I love a necktie, but man, I'm so fat I can't hardly wear them. But I'm getting skinnier. I'll be able to wear them one of these days without taking them off. Exodus 8, 9, and 10, the Bible said, And Moses said unto Pharaoh, Glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? Pharaoh said, Tomorrow. He said, Tomorrow. I'd like to preach tonight, the Lord help me, on one more night with the frogs. One more night with the frogs. Not a new sermon. It's been preached many times before. But nevertheless, it's very pertinent and very necessary for this service tonight. I've never understood why a person would want to be lost without God. I can remember when I was an unregenerated man searching for something to soothe my soul. I never found it. The tragedy of it all was I knew that I needed God. Searching here and searching there, and all the while I knew where the answer was at. It was in God. I wouldn't have told my friends. I wouldn't have told none of my lady friends. I wouldn't have told none of my family. But deep down in my heart, I knew the answer to all my problems. I knew the answer to all of my heartaches was in God. There were many nights that God would call me, but I would refuse Him. There was countless times I felt the wooing of the Spirit. And I was in heartache. I was in pain. I was grieving. I was lonely. But I would turn away the call of God. Nights when the load of sin was threatening my life. There were times that I thought about death and how easy it would be just to end it all. There were times that I contemplated suicide and pondered upon it. And I knew that hell awaited me. And I didn't want to go to hell. I didn't want to die lost. And there was many times the only thing that kept me from ending my life was the fear of spending eternity in a place called hell. You see, even with my mind pondering upon suicide, there was a fear of hell that drove me to Christ. You see, I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. I got tired of waking up in the morning and putting on a facade and pretending to everybody that I was something that I was not. I got tired of making a pretense to everybody. I got tired of make-believe that I was something that I was not. It was this turmoil in my mind. I had no peace. I couldn't sleep at night. And when I did sleep, I had dreams that haunted me. It was terrible, the things that I went through because of sin, the things that I had to endure because of the things that I was doing in my life. And it was terrible because I knew that at any time that I could have called upon God, He was wooing my heart. He was pulling at my soul. But I was so stubborn and so rebellious, I wouldn't come to God. It was all of this that drove me to Christ. It was the loneliness. It was the anger that I felt. It was the hatred that made me fight all the time and made me curse and swear and use God's name in vain. It was these feelings of emptiness, these feelings of desolation that caused me to go to Christ. I said, I'm tired of the hog pen. I'm tired of the mess. I want Jesus in my life. And so I found myself turning it over to the one that could fix everything. How many's ever met that man that can fix everything? You know, he can take a broken heart and he can fix it. He can take a messed up marriage and he can just fix it so easily. He can fix what we've messed up. He can take a life that's been torn and wrecked by sin and he can fix it so easily. But you know, we, as a sinner, I've seen over and over, they just continue. They walk in the midst of turmoil. They're on the verge of losing everything. Their marriage is in chaos. They don't know if they're even going to be here next year, if their marriage is going to make it. They're in the middle of turmoil. They're on the verge of losing everything. But they still won't come to God. I don't understand that. I've seen men and women who were in major trouble. And they knew their only hope was in God. Yet they remained in sin. They remained in sin. They desired to continue in the wages of sin. I read where a preacher went to visit a group of young ladies in a prison. He didn't really know what he was getting into. He thought he was going to come in and find an old group of haggly women with scars and wounds from years of life of degradation. But as he walked in, he was surprised that he found beautiful young ladies in here. Average age was 17. 16-year-old girls. One had got caught with 10 different men. There were some in there incarcerated for prostitution. Some in there for living vile lives and lewdness at dance halls. 17 was the average age of those young girls. Sitting in the stench, in the mess of that cell with the toilet that was open for everybody to see. The stench was terrible. Rats in that cell. And the preacher began to preach about Jesus Christ and how He could deliver a soul from those kind of conditions. And they laughed at the preacher and wouldn't give their lives to God. Even though sin had torn them apart, even though sin had wrecked their lives, they said, we want to stay right here. Even though we're hurting, even though we're in pain, even though we're going to hell, we're going to continue in the place and the state that we're in. And they would not give their lives to God. The story I read tonight is an old one. It's been preached many times. We sing songs about Egypt was once our home. I was a slave. Helpless in sin did roam. Love light did crave. That's what I'm talking about tonight, dwelling in the bondage of Egyptian, pounding upon your backs with whips, building houses of brick and mortar in pain. Egypt was once my home, a slave in sin. We sing songs. It's a Sunday school text. We teach our children about Moses and the crossing of the Red Sea. My little girl every night, she said, "Daddy, read me story." And I say, "What you mean, read me story?" She said, "Read me about Moses." And so I tell her about Moses crossing the Red Sea. And so we know the story about Moses and all of that. And tonight's text is situated in the midst of Egypt and the Red Sea crossing. It's right in the middle. You see, Moses was tending to his father-in-law's sheep. And he came down upon a burning bush. The Bible said he beheld a bush that was burning. But there was something peculiar about this bush. He was not being consumed. He was just fire. He was just burning. But there was no ashes. There was really no smoke because nothing was happening. It was a fire, but it was not consuming the bush. We know very well that as God was speaking to Moses there, he spoke to Moses and said, "Moses, take off your shoes. The ground you're standing on is holy ground." And Moses slipped his shoes off and God gave him a mandate. He said, "I want you to go down to Egypt. I want you to go back to Pharaoh and I want you to stand boldly in Pharaoh's face and tell him to let my people go." And so we know that Moses tried to get out of it. Moses tried to shun the call of God. But God took away all of excuses and said, "Moses, I need you to go to Egypt. I need you to cry out to Pharaoh and let my people go and deliver my people out of Egyptian bondage." And so we find Moses saddling up and going down. And as he travels down, I know he's praying and he's seeking the face of God, him and Aaron, his brother with his rod in his hand, a Moses with fire in his eyes and a mandate upon his soul. "I must go and preach the gospel even to King Pharaoh, the most powerful man on the planet." So Moses stands in the face of Pharaoh. And he cries to Pharaoh, "Pharaoh, let my people go." But Moses, his message was not having any effect on Pharaoh. His heart was hardened. God warned Pharaoh that if you don't let my people go, pestilence is going to come upon your land. But Pharaoh was so stubborn, he would not let the Israelites go out of Egypt. Now I want you to see Moses and Aaron as they approach Pharaoh and they throw the rod upon the ground. They toss the rod down and it becomes a serpent in the presence of all of Pharaoh and his magicians. But Pharaoh's magicians threw their rod down and it too became a serpent. But the thing about it was, God, the serpent that came out of Moses' rod, it turned and consumed the rod and the serpent of Pharaoh's magicians. And so God was saying, "Yeah, you may be able to imitate this miracle, but the miracle of God is greater than anything the world can produce." And so now we see Pharaoh's heart is still hardened, but Moses ain't done yet. He stretches his rod over the river and he turns all the water into blood. And now we're finding a fish are dying and the water is polluted and its stench. This is terrible. It's horrific. But Pharaoh's heart would not soften up. Pharaoh's magicians turned water into blood too. He didn't get very far. The rivers were turned into blood. The plagues were awful. But this brings us to tonight's text. God told Moses, "And I want you to stretch your rod out over the streams, out over the rivers, out over the brooks, out over the ponds. And I want you to bring frogs upon the land." Moses was commanded to stretch his arm over all the water and commanded frogs come upon the land of Egypt. There were frogs that came up out of every stream. There were frogs that came up out of every passage of water. Frogs began to come forth. They came forth by the millions. There were frogs everywhere you could go. Everywhere you looked, mothers were cooking. And they would open up their ovens and frogs would come out. They would try to go to their dishes. And they would pull cups out of the cupboard. And they would pour the cup full of milk. And as they went to drink that milk, 2 eyes would pop up of frogs in the cups. They would put their shoes on. And you got it right. There's frogs in their shoes. They would try to lay down in bed at night. But as Uncle Bob laid down, he had some company in the bed with him. A frog's in the bed. His pocket, he put on his shirt in the morning to go to work. And his pocket started moving. He looked down and there was a frog in his pocket. It didn't matter where they turned. There was frogs all around. They would try to sweep them out the door. But when they opened up the door, 1,000 more would come in. There was frogs on the tables. There was frogs on the couch. There was frogs in the dishes. There was frogs in the food. There was frogs everywhere. And not only that, but they began to die. And the sun began to bake them. And the Bible made plain that the land stank because of the frogs. Our children was walking down the road, and instead of having mud between their toes, they were treading upon frogs. It was disgusting. It was horrific. It was a plague that brought Pharaoh heart down. He softened his heart. The frogs were so atrocious that Pharaoh said, "Call for that Moses and Aaron. I'm tired of the frogs." Amen. Hallelujah. I'm tired of the frogs. Pharaoh's heart was softened. He said, "It's time for me to let Israel go. I can't handle these frogs no more." So he calls, and Moses and Aaron stands before him. And I can't hardly fathom what happens next. I can't hardly understand. You see, Moses asked Pharaoh, "When do you want me to beseech the Lord that the frogs would leave?" And Pharaoh said, "Tomorrow." Tomorrow. This, you know, he said, "I cannot figure out tonight. Frogs in his food. Frogs in his bed. Frogs in his clothes. Frogs all over his house. And God is ready to remove the frogs instantly. He's going to push the frogs back instantaneously." But instead of Pharaoh saying, "Please, God, move these frogs," Pharaoh says, "I want you to remove them tomorrow." Pharaoh is saying, "Oh, Moses, I won't rear these frogs, but I want one more night with the frogs. Let me have one more night with them." Well, I don't know about you, but I don't understand that. Why could he have possibly chosen one more night to live with those frogs? You see, Pharaoh was a sinner. And Pharaoh was a type of sinners. Rebellious, proud, fleshly, godless. He was a good picture of today's sinner, a lost man outside of Christ. God had warned him, but like today, he stubbornly refused to obey God. So the frogs came. The frogs came because of sin, because of things in their life. Even so, saints, for sin is why people are plagued today. That's why things, troubles, and doubts, and burdens, and sufferings, a sickness, sorrow, fears, perplexities, broken hearts, shattered dreams, lives all messed up, marriage is messed up. It's because of sin. The frogs of trouble, the frogs of heartache, the frogs of emptiness, the frogs of pain. It's because of sin tonight. Hallelujah. Disappointments, heartaches, frogs, all of them. God would readily remove them, but for some stupid reason. And I don't mean that bad. But it's not wise. For some reason, they say, yes, I want rid of these frauds. But when do you want God to do it? Tonight? On this altar tonight? Are you going to come and tell God, I beseech you, Lord, rid me of all these things that I'm bringing up on myself? And God says, I'll do it. When do you want me to do it? And they say, well, not tonight, preacher. One more night with the frauds. I cannot understand. You see, Pharaoh said tomorrow. God says today is the day of salvation. I would like to talk to the Christian a little while tonight. You see, we are famous for saying that we're going to do something later. I would pray more, but I need one more night with the frogs. I would fast more, but I've got this to do. I've got that to do. And you know, we don't come to the house of God. We don't show up. And we wonder why God ain't a blessing. We're saying, give me one more night with the frogs. Give me one more night with the frogs. Yes, I want the power of God. Yes, I want the anointing of God. Yes, I want the blessings of God. But you're going to have to cry, oh God. God, now! I do it now! I don't want these frogs another day in my life! Hallelujah! I would fast more. But I, you know, not tonight. We want to fully surrender to God. But for some reason we don't do it today. You see, we want one more night with the frogs. We're going to get to that. People that want to start ministries. People that want to be used of God. People that want, I want to be used of God, don't you? We talk about nursing homes. We talk about street ministries. We talk about preaching in the jails. We talk about going here. We talk about going there. And you say, well, why don't you go? Well, I might next week. I might next year. But God is saying, all you want is another night with the frogs in your life. I know it's hurting you. I know you're miserable. I know you're in pain. I know you're not right with God. I know you're suffering. But it's your own fault. But God said, I'll take the frogs away right now if you want me to. Hallelujah. Help me, Holy Ghost, and preach tonight. What about the backslider? What about the sinner? They'll usually admit that they need to come back to God. They will admit that they have had nothing but trouble since they went away from God. But when you ask them to give their lives to the Lord, they'll tell you, I'm going to put it off to tomorrow. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I don't have the grace of God in my life. I know I don't have the love of God in my life. I know I don't got the compassion of God in my life. I know that I'm empty. I know that I'm hurting. I know I'm in pain. And the preacher's calling you tonight and telling you, you don't got to live that way no more. You don't got to put up with that no more. I'm going to open an altar and you can get it right. But are you going to say, Brother Lamb, I will call out to God? Or are you going to say, I want one more night with the frogs? The choice is yours tonight. Illustration. Listen to me close. 15-year-old boy got in a fight with his father. He packs his duffel bag and he leaves the house. He finds a very peculiar place to stay. He crawls down into the sewer. And for 2 weeks, he slept upon an old nasty mattress. And he tried to cook his food upon a one little burning coal oil stove. When they found him, he was living with the rats in the sewer. He was living in the degradation of the city was flowing right by him. For 2 weeks they found him and they delivered him back to his father. And his father said, son, why did you want to stay 2 weeks in a sewer? If you had come back, I would have forgiven you. I'd have let you come right back home. And that's the way it is, sinner friend. God will forgive you tonight. Why do you stay in a sewer of this world? Why do you stay in the filth of this world? When Christ died for you, he shed his blood for you, and he said he will forgive all sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of all our transgressions. Hallelujah. Throughout the years, I've met many of these tomorrow men and women. The Bible gives us a lot of examples. One man, Christ came by and said, take your cross and follow me. He said, but Master, let me go bury my dead father first. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. What Jesus was telling that young man was, if you want to serve me, come on and follow me. He knew that if he went back home, his mom and daddy would probably talk him out of going with Jesus. And so what he said was, I want to go with you, Jesus, but I need another night with the frogs. I need another night. I'm not ready yet. And so he went away, and he never followed Jesus. You see, the problem with all this is, the frogs may not leave tomorrow. Pharaoh said tomorrow. They left the next day. But sometimes the frogs don't leave tomorrow. I come to tell you that the frogs will probably be there tomorrow. They're not going anywhere. Your heart is going to hurt tomorrow. You see, the rich young ruler wanted one more night with the frogs of his riches. He came to Jesus and said, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, sell what you got, give it to the poor, take up your cross and follow me. But the Bible said he turned and he walked away sorrowfully because he had great possessions. He wanted one more night with the frogs of his riches. But listen to me, rich young ruler. In the morning you're going to wake up and you're still going to be empty. You're still going to be void. That which made you come to Jesus in the first place is still going to be there. It's still going to haunt you. It's still going to take you down. You need to give your life to God. Throughout the years, I've come across a lot of rich young rulers. Oh, they think that they can put it off and put it off, and they're going to escape. But the frogs, they don't always go away. They try to pray conviction off of their lives. But after conviction was gone, they were still miserable. The power of the Holy Ghost upon their hearts. The power of the Holy Ghost upon their lives. And they pray just a little bit. And they get conviction off of them. But they go right out the door and they go right back to sinning. And their lives haven't been changed. They only prayed enough to get conviction off of them. What they said was, I'm tired of the frogs. But I'm not going to commit my life totally to God. I'm going to stay one more night. And one more night becomes two more nights. And two nights becomes three nights. Until your life is consumed in filth and in turmoil and the things of this world. Oh, God. Another thing. Third thing I'd like to say tonight. Not only may the frogs not leave tomorrow, but something worse may come in the place of the frogs. Now this was true in the case of Pharaoh. After the frogs came lice, then flies, then locusts, then boils, then in hell mingled with fire, then darkness that they could feel, and last the death angel crossed over Egypt and slew the firstborn in every Egyptian home. It's a stark tragedy. Oh, the miseries of a sinner man or sinner woman. You see, my wife has a cousin. She was in the house of God, and she decided that the frogs, they were creeping back into her life, and trouble started coming, and things started happening, and she didn't know if she was going to be able to make it or not. And she started talking about leaving the church and quitting God. And the Holy Ghost moved upon me. And I said, if you leave the house of God, you're going to lose everything you got. But she didn't believe me. She thought that she could get away with it. She thought the frogs was all that was going to plague her. And she walked away from God. And she lost her children. She lost her husband. She lost her job. She lost her vehicles. She lost everything she had. You see, it would be one thing if it was only frogs. But tomorrow may very well be something worse than you can handle, my friend. My. How many times have we seen God try and deliver a soul from impending pain and agony. But they lingered so long and they ended up in a great deal of trouble. I've seen God call their names. I've seen God call and beckon them and try to warn them that if you don't turn from your ways, oh, something worse is going to come upon you. And they walk out them doors lost and undone without God. And it came and they crumbled and they had to go through a bottle. They had to go through a needle to try to find some satisfaction. Help us, Holy Ghost. You need to get right with God right now while there's still a chance. Help us, Holy Ghost. Oh, folks think they can tolerate the frogs. They think that they can ride this plague of frogs out. But you see, the next plague is going to be a lot worse. You may be able to handle what's in your life right now, but you mark it down. You mark this down, my friend, that tomorrow's plague is going to make today's plague look like a flu. That tomorrow what's going to happen is going to make today's plague looks like something very, very light. You see, tomorrow holds something that you'll understand and that you'll never fathom until it comes upon you. You don't see it coming. You're walking around and everything is like it is always been until the plague comes and it buckles you to your knees. And then you pray and ask God again, please take the lice off of us. And you just pray that same old prayer that God is wanting you to give your life wholeheartedly unto Him. He wants to use you. He wants to bless you. He wants to save your soul. What about it? Would you come tonight? The preacher was visiting dinner table, and just on the wall, large portrait of a beautiful blue-eyed baby boy. He looked around, but he didn't see no baby. Only a picture hanging on the wall. He didn't ask a lot of questions, but he found out later that this family at one time was so wealthy and they desired wealth and money so much that they got to a place they forsook the house of God. They were devout Christians now, but the man noticed that there was an air of sadness about them. And so he found out later that these people had slipped away from God. And they had almost idolized this small child. The husband had fallen sick and was at the hospital recovering from an operation. They had fancy home. He had fancy barns and cars. And one of his barns burnt down. And his child died in the flames of that barn. And the man and woman eventually, they yielded to God and went back to God. But don't you think that's an awful high price to pay? Don't you think it's an awful high price to pay? Yes, they were saved, but they lost the flower of their home because they were so stubborn that they wanted another night with the frogs. It's insanity that God loves you so much. He'll do whatever it takes to save your soul. Is that what you want? You want God to send more plagues? He'll do it. I said He'll do it. It'd be a lot better to come now. Come now. In Jesus' name, give your life to God tonight. Young lady threw a big party. It was her coming out party. Oh, she was an adult now, and she was going to go and have her time. And in a drunken stupor, her and her perverted friends, they snuck into the zoo, and they thought they would tantalize the bear. And she had her arm stuck to the cage and was tantalizing this grizzly bear until he clamped down upon her arm. And he grabbed her bear, hugged him, and chewed her arm so bad that they had to amputate it. You say, well, I can live with the frogs. You may live with the frogs, but what are you going to do when it's not a frog and it's a bear? That's what Amos said. They ran from a lion and they came into a bear. They tried to run into the house to find shelter. They leaned upon a wall and a serpent bit them. You can run, but you can't hide. It's going to catch up with you sooner or later. Here's my last point tonight. Not only may the frogs not leave tomorrow, not only may something worse come in the place of the frogs, but tomorrow may never come. God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. The United States of America is nicknamed the land of sudden death. Two people die every second. 120 every minute, 7,200 every hour. 172,800 people die every hour, every day. 1.2 million people die every week. Just because it hasn't happened to you yet doesn't mean that it's not going to. We're crying tonight, sinners and backsliders alike, give us one more night with the frogs, and tomorrow I'll change. Tomorrow I'll pray. Tomorrow I'll get right. But saints of God, tomorrow doesn't always come. Listen to me, tomorrow may not come. This may be your last service to get right with God. Hallelujah. I was preaching revival. I went to Walmart one night in Kentucky where I live at. A young man walked up to me who had been going to the church where I was in revival, holding and preaching. A revival there, and he brought his brother up to me. And he said, here's my brother, called him by name. He said, he's lost. And I began to talk to him. I said, won't you come to revival? We're in a powerful revival. I think there was like 80 or 100 got saved in 4 or 5 weeks. About 100 got baptized in the Holy Ghost or something, 60 or 70. It was just unbelievable what God was doing there. And he came, Brother Johnson, and the man gave his heart to God. And he played his guitar. He sang. He came faithfully. He was working for God. But I noticed he began to slip out. He began to slip back. He quit bringing his guitar to church. And before I knew, he was on the back seat. I went back and talked to him. I said, son, you don't need to leave the house of God. But he said, I'm not. But he didn't come back. He backslid on God. Standing in the parking lot, I wept and cried and said, come back, church. Come back to church, Rick. He said, I will tomorrow night. One more night of the frogs. The next night I cried. I said, Rick, come back to church. He said, I will tomorrow night. One more night of the frogs. But there came one night. I cried. I begged him. I said, come back to church. He said, give me one more night. But he never got the next day. He died. And he went to hell because he refused to call out on God to get rid of the frogs. Oh, God. Preaching on the streets of Richmond. A schoolboy friend of mine. I hadn't seen him in a long time. He came staggering down the street between two bars. I grabbed him by the arm. I said, what are you doing down here? He was drunk. He said, well, I'm just having a good time. And I said, Jeff, I want you to come to church with me Sunday. Well, first I said, I want you to pray with me. He said, not tonight, Dave. Call me Sunday. Give me another night. The frogs. Now, you know, you look at me strange. But it's ludicrous. It's insanity. The very thing that a man wants away from, he holds so dear. Friday night after Friday night, you'd never believe how many Friday nights months of Friday nights. Here he comes. Same old, same old. Same old tracks, same old words. Come on, Jeff. Pray with me, son. You're not going to... This could be your last chance. No. I'm going to have a little fun tonight. I'm going to go here and drink away my problems. I'm going to go drink away all the things in my life. And I said, come on, man. Come to church with me. I'll come. Call me Saturday. I'll go to church. He said, I want one more night with the frogs. This went on for about 3 months. And I noticed one Friday night I didn't see him out on the street. And I got caught wind. They said he was in an automobile accident. And he died. Do you know how it feels to look down upon the face of a young man that you begged him to come away from the frogs? And he said, I want one more night. I'm talking about my friend. I'm talking about just a normal young man who worked in the factory. He had a normal job. He was poor like the rest of us, just like you. But death took him. Behold, now is the accepted time. The Holy Ghost saith, today. If you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Stand across the house. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. My uncle was a backslid man. He was a good man. I mean, good moral man. He didn't drink. I think the only vice he had was smoking. Oh, I never heard him curse. Never heard him say a dirty word. Spent most of his Saturdays and Sundays listening to gospel music. Before he died, he started going to the house of God. But he would never pray. He'd sit along the second or third row and he'd play his guitar and they'd give an altar call. They'd go back and talk to him, but he wouldn't pray. And he wanted one more night. I was working at a factory when they called me. And my hand had gone in that morning and he was dead. He died with the frogs in his bed. He died in a sinful condition. Now I ask you to bow your heads. I ask you to close your eyes. Please reverence that tonight. I need to talk to some people here tonight. I don't understand why you want to live with the frogs. You can have the dove. I don't understand. I cannot fathom why you're trying to make a marriage work on your own, why you're trying to get peace on your own, why you're trying to get joy on your own. God is the only one that's going to be able to give that to you. I want to ask somebody in this room, please, sister, please. I've got to give an altar call here. Every head bowed. I want to ask, is there one here this night lost, undone without God? You'd like to say, Brother Lamb, I don't want the frogs in my life anymore. Would you lift your hand, please? Come on. Sister Grace, come to the piano. I saw that hand. Put them down quickly. Would there be another? Would there be another? Brother Lamb, I'm tired. I'm tired of the frogs. I'm tired of the frogs. God bless them. Lift your hand right now. Say, I'm tired of the frogs. I don't want to know if I see that hand. Would there be another? Would there be another? Thank you, Holy Ghost. My, my, my. Would there be another? I don't want to live this life no more. I'm tired of the emptiness. I'm tired of the pain. I'm tired of the sorrow. Only God can take it away. I'm going to come tonight. I'm going to get things right for God. Would you lift your hands? Would there be one more? All right, this altar is open. I want everyone that could. Everyone that lifted your hand tonight, I want you to come around this altar. I want you to make your way around to the altar and seek the face of God tonight. I beseech Thee, Lord, do away with these frogs. Do away with these frogs. I'm tired of them. I'm tired of the things that are in my life. Come around the altar and pray tonight.